And we're going to read one verse together, Romans 13, verse number 1. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1. Aren't you glad you're saved? Romans 13, verse number 1. If you don't have a Bible, please share with somebody who has one. And let's read out loud in unison, Romans 13, verse number 1, shall we? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I'm going to talk to you this morning about honoring authorities. Honoring authorities. Let's pray, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for being such a wonderful God. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace, your long-suffering, your patience. Thank you, dear God, for church this morning, the folks that are here. And Lord, I just pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you speak to our hearts. Bless thy word as we read it, as it's taught. Bless, I pray, the nursery, the junior church, dear God. I pray that because of what's happening in this building here this morning, Lord, that hearts will be drawn closer to thee because of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first thing I want to ask you is, are you part of every soul? Are you included in the every soul in Romans 13, verse number 1? The obvious answer is yes, because God says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Too often I hear people say, you know, I'm dealing with my higher power, and you don't know what the Bible says when it says higher power. You think some spiritual realm out there, some Eastern religion kind of thing where these gods are floating around and you're making up your own make-believe God, that you're saying, well, I'm relying on my higher power, my higher powers. That's not what the Bible says higher powers are. The Bible, we're going to go through a series. There's no way we can get through all of it today, obviously, but there's going to be a beginning of a series. Your higher powers are from a child's higher power are their parents. A wife's higher powers are a husband. Higher power of a man is God. The higher power of a tenant is a landlord. I mean, God has set in place in life higher powers that are immediately over you, that you know who your higher powers are. Not some make-believe, fanciful, made-up designation of just higher powers that people use as a crutch. All the higher powers have been instituted by God. And God is the highest power. Read it now. We're going to read a little further than the verse number one, but let's begin in verse one again. Let every soul, that means every single person who's alive, be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, newsflash. You don't have to agree with your higher power. You don't have to agree with your authority. You have to be subject and obedient to them. Let me repeat that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to agree with everything your authority says or does. Except God, obviously. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to agree with everything your parent or your husband or your preacher or the king or your landlord or anybody who's over authority in you. Doesn't say that you have to agree with everything. But you must be subject to every authority in your life. The only answer to somebody who is not subject and doesn't obey is a rebel. You're either compliant or you're rebelling. One of the two. You're either obeying God or you're disobeying God. And we're going to break this down in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks or so about the different authorities in people's lives. The first one, you'll see what it is as we get to it, okay? It's the authority in life itself, in general public. Look at verse number 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, that immediate authority that is over you, that God placed over you, resisteth the ordinance of God. For instance, you had no choice on who your parents were. God decided that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you ought to like your parents. Maybe they weren't good parents. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe you didn't get along with your parents. Maybe they were mean to you. Maybe they weren't saved. I don't know. But the Bible says you're supposed to be subject to your parents. You're supposed to obey your parents. All right, friend, we're going to get through this in a week or two about children, but let's just say a child doesn't agree with what their dad or mom does. That's fair enough. I told my children, if you don't like the rules, just remember this rule so that when you leave and you have your own household, you don't make that rule, you do some other rule. But until you're under my roof, these are the rules. And you're bound to be subject and to obey the rules. I'm not going to get mad at you because you don't like the rule, you don't agree with the rule. Just like if you have a rule in your house, if I'm welcome in your house, I am bound to obey and be subject to the rules in your house. I don't care if I'm a pastor or not. It doesn't matter. Those are the rules of your house. So when I come to your house, I'm under the authority or being subject to you being the authority of your home. So kids, teenagers, if you don't like it, lump it. Amen. Or move out. Go get yourself a job, two jobs, pay the rent, pay the mortgage, pay the car insurance, pay your health insurance, get your food, buy your clothes, and nobody should get upset with you. If you can do that at 14, do it. If you can do it at 8, do it. If you can do it at 25 or 35, do it. Whatever you want. But as long as you're under your mom's roof, your dad's roof, you are bound to be subject to the authority that God has placed over you. And when you rebel against that, you're rebelling against God. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Verse 2 again. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That's strong language for God to use. Look, I'm going to tell you something. And we'll get to it, Exodus chapter number 12. I think it's verse 10, but I could be wrong, where, one of the commandments is honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible says it's the first commandment with promise. All right? The New Testament says it's the first commandment with promise. And God said in Exodus 20, in the Ten Commandments, that you'll live a long life. Look, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I don't know how long you're going to live. Nobody knows that except God, okay? Please listen to me good. I'm going to about tell you. I not one time ever argue with my mom or talk back to her. Now, you don't know what it's like growing up with a Greek mother, okay? From a village, okay? She used to zap the dust coming out of the air before it landed on the table, amen? You don't know what a clean freak is, okay? But I'll tell you something. Not one time did I ever talk back to my mom. Not one time did I ever argue with my mom. How's God blessing you? Huh? I know some of the rules you don't like. I understand that. I know some of the things you say, well, they're just making my life difficult. Okay, well, go out and on your own. And live your own life and see how God blesses that or curses that. But until that time, you ought to be kind, respectful, and subject. Because if you're not, you are rebelling against God Almighty. Verse number 3. Now, we're talking about rulers in this context this morning. In society. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? I don't know about you, but I was afraid of my parents. And by the way, Leviticus says every man ought to fear his father and his mother. That's what the Bible says in Leviticus. We don't fear our children do not fear us anymore. The parents today fear the children. Oh, they might call DSS. I might be called in to some office, because I spanked my kids or I yelled at them or I hurt their feelings, Everybody wants a safe space today, I told my kids, if you ever heard this before, I said the only reason my kids listened to me, I said because I told my kids when they were young, I said we had three other children, but they didn't listen to me, so they're buried in the backyard. So it's up to you whether you want to listen or not. Now, until they got about 10 or 12 or 14, I don't know. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. It's not that difficult to do good. Trust and obey. We sang that song this morning. It's not that difficult. I'm telling you, if you ever get right with God, you're going to thank God for your parents. You're going to feel guilty the way you treated them. You treated them like trash. Talk back to them, answer it again. You rolled your eyes, put your hands on your hip. Yeah, okay. Somebody will smack you upside the head. Yeah. That's society today. That's your society. They're a bunch of rebels today. Just look at them. Look at college campus kids. College kids. They want safe zones, safe spaces. You know what? They're demanding free education. They're demanding health care free. They're demanding free education. They're demanding free everything. Free food, free welfare, free apartments, free furniture. I want it. I demand it. Haven't gotten a job. Don't know how to pay the bills. But they're demanding from their authorities instead of the authority demanding from the children. We got a complete reversal in today's society. You wonder why our society's messed up. Verse number 4. Oh, by the way, the last part says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, here's what you like. Hey, look, this happens to my kids all the time, too. You like going over somebody's house, and they think you're so nice all the time. They say, you're so good. And then those parents tell me, see, your kids are so good. I said, you must have me confused with some other kids, I said, And then your kids come home and says, so-and-so, they're just so nice over there to their children. The test of your relationship, listen to me good, is what your authority thinks about you. Not the next door neighbor's parents. God says it's the same authority that's over you. That's like saying, your boss is always picking on you. But that other boss, who hires some other people in the next building or the next town, he's just so nice to his employees. That's because you don't work for him. But from afar, you say, man, he's just such a nice boss. And those employees have it so, the grass is always green on the other side, The reason it's green is because there's more fertilizer over there. You just can't smell it. Right? Look, let's just be honest. Everything looks better over there. Everything looks greener over there. Well, go ahead, move in with them. Go ahead, move in with those crack addicts, those pot smokers. Go live with those gamblers, the drug addicts, the people who are on welfare. Go live with people who don't have any responsibility, don't care about their children, how they end up, what they're doing, where they're at, who they're with. Go ahead, just go live with them and see how God curses your life and destroys your life. Because you got this in your mind, so my parents don't like me anymore. They hate me. They make me do the dishes, and they make me take the trash out, and they make me clean the rooms, and they make me pick up my toys, and I got to close the lights, and I got to close the television. You don't see, my parents are just so mean. You wait till you meet God one day. You wait till you meet God. I heard the same excuse when I was in boot camp. Those drill instructors, they don't hate us. I mean, they hate us, man. They literally hate us. They're trying to keep you alive on the battlefield, on the front lines. I say they're trying to keep you alive on the front lines. Yeah. You go ahead and hang out with the troublemakers criticizing their own parents. Listen, no parent is sinless. No parent is without fault. Except my wife, obviously. There's nothing wrong with my wife because she's here right now and listening to my sermon. What I'm saying is no parent is without sin and no parent is faultless. If that's true, boys and girls, teenagers, young adults, that means every single parent has a fault and some sin and some misjudgments and some errors that you're going to have to learn how to deal with while you're under their authority. And that's how you learn to mature and grow up, to learn how to deal with that authority while you're under their authority, not running away from that authority. But because people are immature now, they just leave and say, I can't take this anymore, I'm leaving. Oh, okay. You're gonna leave that job when the boss tells you to do something you don't like. Yeah. You're going to leave when your husband tells you to do something you don't like. You're going to leave the church when the preacher preaches on something that you don't like. You don't leave God because you don't like what God said about something. And that's exactly what's going on in society. That's why people are changing Bibles. They don't like what God said. People are changing churches. They don't like what God, they don't like the preacher says. You know, I wish we had more old-fashioned values. That's what people say. I wish our people were more old-fashioned. So you come to church, a preacher preaches on old-fashioned preaching. You say, you know what? He doesn't care about people. He's just too mean. He's just too, you know, he doesn't care. If he really cared about people, he'd love people. Okay. Okay. Verse number 4. Now, these are all the people over you in authority. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. It may be, it just may be, and usually it's about 95 to 98% of the time, that it's the child that's doing wrong and rebelling against the parent. Now, if the child is being evil or wicked or disobedient, then the parent has to step up in its authority and say, hey, that's not right, stop it, change it. You're not doing that anymore. Well, that's what the authority is there for. You do not have to teach your children how to lie. They lie automatically. They're born with a sinful nature. You have to teach your children to share. You have to teach your children to be kind. You have to teach your children to go first, to let others go first. If you don't believe that, put one toy in a nursery in the middle of about two or three other kids and see what happens. See a knockdown, drag out fight, man. Bloody nose would be worse than United Airlines, amen. They'll be suing the church and the nursery worker, amen? Blood will be coming down, you know? They'll hire a lawyer by the time they get out of the church building, amen? Put one toy in the middle of three or four people. We say children, but I'm telling you, even with adults, they'll fight over it. Have you ever seen the YouTube videos, or have you gone to Walmart on Black Friday? You think I'm exaggerating? Just step back and look at that. Look like a bunch of animals. No, you go first. It's okay. No, you go first. They're all lying at the door. You know, they're camping out at night. They get their tents out there and lining up. And all of a sudden, the door's open. They say, no, you go first. You know, before you. I don't think so. Well, that's the sinful nature of man. We want to be first. Me, myself, and I. We rebel against those. It's a natural thing for us to rebel against those in authority unless we've been corrected and taught otherwise. I wouldn't even think about answering back to my dad or mom. I wouldn't even think about rolling my eyes. I wouldn't even think about putting my hands on my hips and yelling at my dad or yelling at my mom or talking back to them or ridiculing them or mocking them. Never. It would have never even crossed my mind. I lived in a concentration camp when I was in the teenage years, man. Thank God for it. Thank God for it. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. I still remember the switch my mom had, man, coming off that tree in the back. She'd be in prison for the next 10 to 20 years, just whipping my rear end, man. The backside of my thighs and my legs, man, all up and down, just red slashes going across, man. That's why she wanted me to wear shorts, I guess, in the summertime. I don't know. He beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2, please. Are you one of every soul, ladies and gentlemen? Huh? Well, God says every soul. That means every single person ought to be subject to the authority that God's put over you and not to rebel. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. You know, I hate speeding laws. I really do. I'd like to go out to Utah one time and just drive about 90 miles an hour. Well, I have done that in this area too, but I'd like to do that where it's legal, amen. I'll be honest with you, when they first passed the law against seatbelts, I hate that law. I said, what does the government have business telling me to put a seatbelt on for me to protect myself? If I want to have a seatbelt, I'll put the seatbelt. If I don't want to have a seatbelt, I don't want to have a seatbelt. But I have learned that it's pretty wise to put a seatbelt on because you'll live a lot longer if you're in an accident if you're wearing a seatbelt. Which tells me the government has more sense sometimes than even the people that are rebelling against that government. I'll be honest with you. I don't think they ought to make the law. But there's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt speed higher than the speed limit. There's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt not wear a seatbelt. So I am obligated, listen to me good, I am subject to the laws that are not contrary to the word of God. Verse number 13. Submit yourselves, what's that word? To every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, watch this, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Verse number 17, watch this says, what's it say there? Honor all men. That's exactly what it says. Now, I'll go a step further. Do you realize the people that are under your authority, if you're in a, sorry, let's say you're a parent, let's say you're a teacher, pastor, employer, landlord, and in any area, do you realize that people under your tutelage, under your following, are one day going to be the authorities of someone else in someone else's life? We forget that 8-year-olds and 10-year-olds are someday going to be 20 and 30 years old, and they're going to have family of their own and kids of their own. But in our mind, we think that they're always going to be their kids, so you're going to listen to what I got to tell you. I don't care what you tell me. Well, as an authority, you ought to use some wisdom. Because you don't want just your way to be done. You want what God's will to be done. And you want at the same time teach those under your authority that when they become an authority, they don't abuse the authority that they have been given in life. God says honor all men. It's kind of hard to do. Because there's a lot of dishonorable people walking around. There's a lot of evil people walking around. There's a lot of wicked people walking around. God said, honor all men, saved, lost. Politicians, huh? The sodomites, the abortion crowd, the socialists, the people who want to destroy America. God said, honor all. You know what? I believe too many people, too many of God's people are guilty of not honoring their authorities. You don't mind telling somebody else what to do, but you don't want to be subject to the same rules that God set up, who is the higher power, who put all the higher powers over you to obey. So it's easy, you know, it's easy for a man to tell his 3, 4, 5, 6, 8-year-old boy or girl to do something because he's stronger and bigger than them, but he sure doesn't want the president, the governor, the mayor, the preacher, or somebody else over him telling him what to do. You are misusing that authority that has been placed in your hands. God says, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. It's a lot easier honoring Trump than it is Obama, amen? It is. From my perspective, it's a lot easier. I was saying the other day, he's the first president in 36 years that doesn't drink alcohol. You wonder why the world hates him? Huh? There's a curse in the Bible for those who drink it and give it. And look, I don't agree with everything he's doing, but I agree with most of what he's doing. Thank God he's a president today, I'm telling you right now. But it says here, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Honor. And he's not the king, he's a president. There's a big difference. Our country was set up so that we don't have a king. Be honest with you, each man was supposed to be the king of his own castle, where each person's supposed to be a sovereign in this nation. That's how our Constitution was set up. That's another subject, okay? Verse number 18, Servants. Servants is the same word for slave in the Bible. Same Greek word is translated servant and slave. Verse 18, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. See, you don't know what it's like. Well, you just shut up and just do what you're supposed to do. If you just learn to deal with your authority correctly, life would go easier for you. I remember I got somebody a job years ago. I'm going back 28 years ago. He was saying he couldn't get a job, couldn't find a job. So I got him a job packing, I think, either a UPS or some like business like that. I still remember it because it was really hilarious. And I got him the job, or at least I introduced him, filled out the paperwork. He got hired. He's on the job one day, and then he quit. He said, Pastor, I quit that job. He said, what'd you quit for? He said, that guy thought I was a slave. He said, he was having me pick up boxes and move boxes. He said, well, that's what the work is. That's what you're supposed to do. That's why he's a zero today and hasn't done anything for himself, his family, or God. Because he couldn't take authority telling him what to do. How's your authority treating you? Rather, I should ask how you're treating your authority. Huh? So, not every boss is going to be nice. I've had maybe 5 or 10 different bosses in my life. I've never had one boss fire me. I've never had one boss get mad at me. And every time they've said something that I've done wrong, I say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. When you argue back with your parent, when a wife argues back with the wife or with the husband, when somebody argues back with their authority, that person has a problem with rebellion. They're not submitting themselves to every ordinance of God Almighty. And it comes down the chain. There's a chain of command, ladies and gentlemen. When I was in the Marine Corps, one of the first things in boot camp, they had a chain of command from the drill instructor all the way up to the President of the United States. And we had to go to the chain of command. If we didn't like what the drill instructor did, then we wouldn't do that, obviously, because if you've ever been in boot camp, you don't want to question your drill instructor. But we had to go over the drill instructor, whoever his superior was. And if we didn't like his decision, then we go over him and go to that person. Then go all the way. And that was our chain of command all the way to the commander-in-chief. By the way, that's how we have in our society, too. That's we have judges in courts. You can appeal. If you don't like what a judge said, you can appeal the decision. Go to a higher court. All the way to the Supreme Court. The only difference is God's court is a lot higher than the Supreme Court, amen? And God's going to overrule the wicked and evil Supreme Court that we've had. All I'm saying, there is a chain of command that you need to follow for those that are in authority over you. Keep reading here. Verse number 18 again. Let's read it one more time for emphasis. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Well, you don't know what my husband did. You don't know what he said to me. That husband over there, he's just so nice. Look how nice he is. That's because you don't live with him. You know, he said, Pastor, you're just so nice. You're just so good, Pastor. The reason you think I'm good, the reason you think I'm nice, because you don't live with me. You ought to understand why my kids are moving out of my house, don't you? But that's what you do. You look at the green grass and say, yeah, look how he is. He's just so nice. So you leave your husband because you can't. Listen, you're the rebel and you can't take authority. So you want to go live with someone else. You want to quit your job or have somebody fire you. And you think that they're so much better until you get under their authority. And you're going to say, well, he's got the same disease my other boss had. They're maniacs. They're slave drivers. You know, who do they think they are? They're a boss. They're in charge. They own the company. They got promotions to be where they're at. Because they know how to speak to people. They know how to deal with people. They know how to have conversations. They know how to be friendly. Keep reading. Verse 19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. Your boss will appreciate it when he finds out that he was wrong chewing you out, and he comes back and apologizes to you. You just went up in his stock, man. Your stock just went up. When he knows that you were right, and you didn't argue with him, and you didn't talk back to him, and he finds out that you were right, he's going to think more highly of you. But you just want to argue because you're a rebel. You want to scream and cuss and swear, use cuss words, embarrass your boss in front of everybody else because you're just hot stuff. Yeah, okay. Okay. You'll see how the rest of your life goes that way. Verse 20. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Hey, I got news for you. We said earlier that every parent is full of mistakes. Every parent is full of errors. Every parent is full of misjudgments at some times and some moments in time. No, there's no parent that can walk on water. But it's the job of the person who's following the authority to have the right attitude and the right spirit to deal with the difficult situation. Because if you don't learn how to deal with it at that time, you are not going to be able to deal with life itself, with people that you come into contact with that you don't know how to deal with. And so God purposely puts us in positions that are difficult for us, not to run, but to learn how to grow up and mature and deal with the authority when they're right and when they're wrong. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin. I mean, Jesus didn't even sin. And he didn't open his mouth. Wasn't it Pilate said, aren't you going to answer anything? Aren't you going to say anything? No? Wasn't it Caiaphas? He said, aren't you going to defend yourself? As a lamb, he went to the slaughter, dumb, quiet, didn't even open his mouth, didn't even try to defend himself. And he didn't do anything wrong. We're going to call our lawyer right away, man. I'm going to own that company. Yeah. I'm going to see you in court. Oh, that's a good attitude to have, isn't it? That's what rebels have all the time. That's an attitude that a rebel has. They're always angry at people. Angry at their dad, angry at their mom, angry at their boss, angry at their husband, angry at the preacher, angry at the president. They're just angry. Look at these spoiled brats who are out here demonstrating against the president. Do you realize, listen, people say, you shouldn't bring politics. I'm not trying to bring politics. They're bringing politics into the religion, so I'm just answering, okay? Do you know when Barack Obama won 8 years ago, responsible people went to work the next day to pay the bills? I didn't like it. I didn't vote for him. I was not in favor of him. But he's my president. We prayed for him for 8 years in the prayer list every single Wednesday night because God said to do that. God said to honor all men. As difficult as it was, we're supposed to do it. Well, guess now, you see the rebels that don't like authority, somebody who's law and order authority, someone now who's going to enforce the laws that were not being enforced. Now you see the rebels, all they're doing is they're showing how angry they are. They have no cause. They have no point for demonstrating. They just want to burn campuses, burn buildings, break windows, shoot people, stab people, because they're a bunch of rebels. What's your spirit like? God said, let every soul be subject. Every single person ought to be subject to somebody. The most dangerous position, this will be good, is the preacher. Because too many preachers misuse their authority. But this book is our authority. That's why when we have question and answer time, you better... If the preacher loses his mind, any more of his mind that he's already lost, and he goes off a deep end, you better have enough courage to stand up and ask a question and say, Pastor, the Bible says this. How come we're doing opposite? Or we're not doing this? Or, Pastor, you said this a week or two ago or a month ago, and maybe I misheard, but you said something like this, I thought, and the Bible says this. Can you answer that question? See, the most dangerous position is when somebody takes all their authority to themselves without being willing to submit to God's authority, and this is ultimately all our authority. I want somebody to show me. If I'm doing something wrong, I want to submit and be willing to be obedient to God's authority, the Word of God. I'm not going to argue with God. So, God, I don't agree with what that says. Although there were times after I got saved, I was surprised, you know, because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know what the Bible said. But I didn't ever argue with God. I said, God, why are you doing this to me? Why'd you write that? No. I said, okay, that's what you said. That's what I'm going to do. As difficult as it's going to be, I'm going to do my dead level best to obey it with a good attitude and a good spirit. How's your attitude today? To your authority, the one immediately over you that you have to answer to. How's your relationship with your authority?
Let's keep reading. Jesus didn't sin. Verse 23. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again.
Can you imagine Pilate asking? He said, don't you know I have the power to release you? Pilate saying this to God. And God says he puts the kings in charge. He raises one up and puts one down. Jesus Christ himself, the Lord God Almighty in the flesh. And Pilate is talking to God saying, don't you know I have the power? And what did Jesus say? Remember his answer? He said, you could have no power unless my Father gave it to you. This is just what we just read in Romans 13. Power comes from God. Jesus never answered. He didn't revile back. If anybody had a right, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was falsely accused and falsely arrested and falsely tried and falsely convicted and falsely hung on a cross, nailed on a cross, and falsely convicted, tried, and killed on a cross. If anybody had a right, he had the right to open his mouth and say, you know what? I'm innocent. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. All right, let's say your authority at some point is not dealing with you correctly. Well, ultimately, you're under God's authority. Don't you think God's watching everything? Don't you think God knows what's going on? Well, if God knows what's going on and you're consumed with wanting to please God, that's all that should matter. If God knows that you're suffering wrongfully and doing it rightfully and doing it right, that's all it should matter to you, that you know what, God knows I'm doing the best I can. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. That's why children today are rebellious, wives are rebellious, men are rebellious, society is rebellious. So we live in a rebellious society. First Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for good men. Let me repeat that. I exhort therefore, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for good men. Is that what your Bible says? It says for all men. That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to do. That's hard to do. I mean, it's hard to turn the other cheek when somebody hits you on the other side. Unless, of course, you love Jesus Christ supremely and want to do his will. And you're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake and put up with the authority that is wrong at times so that God will be pleased with you. Giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. And for, watch this, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. But children want to rebel against their parents. Wives want to rebel against their husbands. People want to rebel against the preacher, the preaching of the word of God, against God. These rebels in society want to rebel against law and order. And thus we live in a society that has impacted the churches. And we have this attitude now that nobody's going to tell me what to do. Okay. Even judges have authorities over them. And I've been working in a courtroom long enough, for 38 years, where a judge says, hey, if you don't like the decision, you can appeal it and go to higher court. He's not offended. It's just his job. You go to higher court. Hey, I told my kids, if you don't like it, I'm not offended. Move out. Send me a postcard. Give me an address. We'll keep in touch. Give me a phone number. We'll have a great time. But while you're living in my house, these are my rules. It's not complicated. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to like the preaching. You don't have to like the church. You don't like to have the activities. I'm not mad at you because you disagree or don't like something. But don't disrupt the services. Or go find someplace else that you think is better. Titus chapter number 3. We're almost done. Titus 3. Titus 3, chapter number 3, verse number 1 and 2. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Is that what your Bible says? Is that what your Bible says? Hey, before you be criticizing somebody else, why don't you get your life and your attitude corrected? Why don't you get your spirit corrected? Before you criticize somebody else next door or a coworker or some other person or some politician or some congressman or some preacher, why don't you get your life in order first? I mean, these verses, just these themselves, are very convicting, ladies and gentlemen. To Bible-believing Christians are convicting. The Bible says in Proverbs 8, verse 15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Proverbs 24, 21 says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king. Leviticus 19, verse 32 says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man. There was a time when an older person came into the room, you stood up. Now you sit back, you put your feet up, you go, sit there, yeah, what's going on, man? How you doing? You used to respect your elders. You used to stand up. When an elderly man or woman got on a train or a bus or the subway, you stood up so they could have a seat. That's lost. That is lost today. We don't respect our elders. We laugh at them. We mock them. We criticize them. My Bible says in Leviticus 19:3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. He goes on and says, I am the Lord your God. In Exodus 20, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. My Bible says in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 20, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. You want to die early? Go ahead, criticize your dad or your mom. Go ahead, you want to die early? Go ahead, make fun of them. Go ahead. You go ahead and rebel against them. Hey, by the way, you folks that have your own families, you ought to honor your father and your mother also. I don't care if they're saved or lost. I don't care if they go to church or not. You're here in this world just because your dad or your mom. You don't even have enough decency to be kind to them. You're the rebel. I say you're the rebel. So you don't know what they did to me. I don't care what they did to you. You're alive because of your parents. That's an ingrate. That's somebody who's ungrateful. That's why they always have a problem with everybody else. They're lashing out at everybody. They think they're smarter than everybody. They think they know better than everybody else.
Isaiah chapter 3 says, I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. That's what's happening in our society today.
Our society, our government makes it easy for you to rebel against authority. You know, you go to school. Now, if your parents, if they ever spank you or hit you, man, you call, you tell the guidance counselor, because we love you. We care about you.
We're going to call DSS. We're going to call CPS, you know, because we care about you. Your parents don't love you like we love you.
Sure. Sure. You're the idiot for sending them there in the first place.
So our whole society has been turned upside down. We wonder what's wrong with our country. A bunch of rebels, what it is. I'm talking about even God's people are rebelling against God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
You want to be happy? Obey your authority. Obey. It's not that difficult. You have to yield yourself and surrender and humble yourself and put Jesus first in your life. If you think this is difficult, you just hold on to your seats for the next 4 or 5 weeks. The problem that we have in our society is we're a bunch of rebels. We don't want to hear from authority. We don't want to obey authority. And until we submit ourselves, until we are subject to the authority over us, we're going to be drinking damnation from God instead of the blessings of God. Hey, what does your authority think about you? Your authority one day, this will be good, is going to give an answer to God for the way you treated them. Let me repeat that. Your authority is going to give an answer to God the way you treated your authority. As I said, you don't have to agree with your authority. You don't have to like everything your authority says or does. But God says, honor all men. Honor your father and your mother. Fear your father and your mother. And you know what? It'll go well with you, and God will give you a long life. God loves us. He knows what's best for us. Satan wants to destroy us and destroy our lives. So he wants to make rebels out of us. You're either going to honor God and your authority, or you're going to rebel against God and your authority. The choice is yours. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this book. This book is our authority. This book is the ultimate authority in our lives. And I thank you, dear God, that you've allowed it to be preserved, inspired, and handed down all these generations, all these years, so that we could read it in 2017. And this book is a very convicting book for those of us especially that did not grow up in Christian homes. When we lived contrary to the will, to your will, and the will of this book. But Lord, just like we surrendered for salvation, just like we humbled ourselves for salvation, we must yield ourselves, surrender ourselves, and humble ourselves to our authority so that you would be pleased. I thank you, dear God, for these dear folks. They've been faithful. They love you. They love people. They love the Word of God. And I pray, dear God, that you bless them and give them wisdom, especially when they have to deal with their authority, who may be good, who may not be good, who may make their life difficult at work, at home, on purpose. But, dear God, nonetheless, just as you opened up, you opened not your mouth, were led as a lamb dumb to the slaughter, Lord, we ought to be the kind of example and testimony and witness for thee that you would be well pleased with. And I pray, dear God, that today, during this invitation, that you speak to our hearts about us surrendering to thy will, the word of God, to make this book our ultimate authority in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever it is your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying.